On September the 8th, 2022, the 70-year reign of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II came to an end, bringing with it an event no news team, however professional, was truly ready to cover. As the day unfolded, and the world's media assembled behind their tents and cameras, I was also in attendance, outside the gates of Buckingham Palace. The special programme you are about to hear is the story of that day of waiting and hoping, which slowly turned into a night of mourning and remembrance. We hope that this programme lives up to one which surmises the day that the sun finally set on the Elizabethan era, and as we look ahead to the Carolian Age.
Just outside Buckingham Palace, on the edge between the private estate of the royal family and the public who so often line the streets outside to view the changing of the guard, there's a real solemn feeling in the air. The assembled news media from all corners of the world have set themselves up around the boundary of Green Park with their cameras pointed inwards on the royal residence. And from various conversations that I've been able to have with reporters as they sit and wait, there is a feeling of resignation that the reign of Queen Elizabeth II is coming to an end. From the people outside who have turned up to wish the Queen well or to simply view the great house in which she has lived so many years, they are more hopeful, but still there is a feeling of this is bigger and more serious than anything we have seen the Queen go through in all of her years on the throne. Her family, we know, are going up to Balmoral one by one to surround her. We've heard officially from Buckingham Palace that the Queen is in need of comfort. She's being kept comfortable at her Scottish residence. We've so often heard that used as code for something far more serious, but I think the collective hope of all those gathered outside the great golden-topped gates of Buckingham Palace is that it is not more serious. We only have to wait, though, to find out what is going on. Whether after more than 70 years on the throne of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, we will be bidding goodbye to Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II and welcoming in Prince Charles as King. When or if that will happen today, I cannot tell you. But the mood is somber, the mood is pessimistic.
So you just heard my initial thoughts on how the day might well unfold. I had no idea that this was going to be the story of the day. In fact, I had initially intended to produce a piece on Parliament and the energy bills. I was actually in the House of Commons for that reason. On a programme like this, it's not important what the presenter or reporter feels. No, this programme is about surmising that day as a whole, and that means finding out what the people who were gathered in front of Buckingham Palace really felt.
Is it the speed of all this that's become the most shocking to you, would you say?
Yes, having seen her on Tuesday,
yeah.
I think.
Yes.
I knew it was happening at some time.
Mm. She's at her age. Yes. You know, we're obviously a lot younger than the Queen, and she's always been the mainstay of our lives, I think. And to have this suddenly is really shocking.
I mean, obviously, we're all hoping for the best possible news, but if things were to prove, unfortunately, that this were to mark the end of Her Majesty's reign, what sort of legacy do you think she would leave behind? Or what, if you wanted me to phrase it in a slightly different, more positive way, what sort of legacy has she already left in her time on the throne?
I think it's going to be the end of an era. I don't think life in the world will ever be like this again. It is redolent of a
yes,
you know, a
it's
a different
well
era.
Respect that everybody in the world had for her, and
yes.
has for her, and you know, and they haven't got that for anybody else. No other politician, no other head of state has got that same respect and care, because she cared so much for so much for people. She cares for the ordinary people. She cares for the members of all the Commonwealth countries. And that is something, I think, which is pretty unique to her.
Yes.
And it's the thing that I think she would want to be remembered for when and if, well, if, when it happens, you know, that she cared for the public and she did her best for them.
She's the only monarch that we've known in our lifetime, and she has been a stalwart for the country, given her life over for the people, and it really is quite a worrying time. It's inevitable because of the fact that she's 96, but I think the country will be in huge mourning if something horrific happens, which sadly it may well do.
What would you say the legacy Her Majesty leaves behind could be?
Simple as that. She has given her life to her people, and as far as I can see, everybody across the world recognises the contribution that she has made. She is just a formidable, remarkable woman who we are very grateful to have had as our Queen, but she's not gone yet.
So the crowd there perhaps filled with a cautious optimism around the state of Her Majesty. Of course, looking back, it's easy to say, well, we now know that would not be the case, but there were real mixed emotions and hopes as the day was drawing on. But this also begs the question why the people were here specifically. Later you'll hear me talk to Julia Pesendorfer and Lena Schrammel, who were kind enough to speak to me all the way from Austria. But first, let's hear about some people a little closer to home.
I would definitely say it's a meeting of the fates for multiple reasons. I got made redundant yesterday, which is the only reason why I'm available today. I was on my way to meet my dad, who I'm going to meet later, but actually where I was meeting him is on the way, on the way is Buckingham Palace. And I felt that I wanted to come here to feel connected to what's happening. And also my great aunt, who's no longer with us, used to work for the Queen. And she always spoke very fondly of the royal family, and my family also speak very fondly of the royal family. So I think the Queen is connected to us in so many ways, even though she's never met many of us.
You have that personal family connection with the royals. Would you say that's a connection that the Queen has been able to make with many of her subjects, whether or not they have that personal story as you do?
I think that she's touched many of us because she's one of the only consistents that life has. I think being able to say that, I was actually having a conversation with my mum the other day, and we were talking about who the most famous person in the world is, and my mother said, without a doubt, the Queen. And so I think it's not just going to affect the British people, it's going to affect everyone all over the world. For example, in China and in Asia in general, I think they're very fond of the royal family, and lots of people look up to British heritage and culture when they don't have monarchies in some other countries. So I think it is a very important day.
I was on my way to London to see my son and daughter, but I'm 63 years old, so Queen Elizabeth has been my monarch from the day I was born, and I suppose we all expected her to go on forever. So it is, you know, sad news to hear that she's been unwell, and perhaps, you know, the ultimate has happened. All the signs were on the wall, perhaps, with the loss of her husband, and then the slow transition of power, her own slightly failing health, and handing over responsibilities to other members of the family. So it's been a smooth transition, but she's been a remarkable woman and a remarkable monarch, and her influence extends not only within this country but worldwide, and through our actions and wisdom, world peace has been maintained to a certain extent, or at least we're in a better place than we would have been with without her wisdom.
Here is that conversation now with Yulia and Lena, as promised, and I think you'll get a real international perspective from them.
Can I just ask you, where are you both from, and have you travelled a long way to be here, or is this sort of just out of your normal roots?
We just travelled here from Vienna yesterday.
So, did you come up here on a trip and then thought, this is such big news, we need to be here, or was the whole trip about visiting this monumental palace?
We actually didn't know that something was going on here. We just witnessed some people are here, and now we're interested in what was happening.
So have you heard anything that's been going on so far, or is it still pretty new?
So my grandma actually texted me what's going on here, because she heard the news on Austrian television, actually. So she texted and she wanted to know whether we know anything, because we're here. So yeah, so we decided to come here.
Do you think this is going to be a big story in Austria? Because obviously we think quite a lot of our royal family in the UK, but we're never really sure how it goes around the world. Is this going to be big news in Austria if unfortunate news is to come out of Buckingham Palace?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's something that matters in the whole world, and I think Austria is also really into the royal family, and I think it's a global thing and not just British.
It's just gone through with a horrible rain shower. I think we can comfortably say it was lashing down outside Buckingham Palace, and yet still the crowd increases and increases in size. What do you think that says about Her Majesty's sort of appeal to the nation and her effect on those who've come here?
I think people feel drawn to come here. We felt this is a little bit silly because she hasn't lived in there for quite a while. It's been effectively an empty palace, but yet it's where we associate with her and where we associate with the royal family. So we just felt drawn to come and look, and you want to be with other people to share what's going on.
Do you feel deeply affected by the news that's happening, or is it more a curious expectation about what might be around the corner? Is it sort of an emotional connection or something else?
I'd anticipated that. I mean, obviously she's a 96-year-old lady, and we'd anticipated this would come one day, and I thought it would be quite an emotional time. But in view of the slow withdrawal over the last few months, I feel that particularly the pictures of her shaking hands with the new Prime Minister and her making the point that she gives out the power round here and it must be her who shakes the Prime Minister's hand, to think that a little old lady closeted away in a castle doing that is going to be the fount of all power in this country, in our constitution, I felt was slightly worrying, and I wondered how long she could sustain that. And so I feel that it's very sad for, I feel very sad for her family, that she's their mother when all said and done, and their grandmother, and they must feel just like any other family does. I think the nation will feel very sad. She's been here all our lives. We've never known any other monarch. But I kind of feel now that perhaps the time is right, and that Prince Charles really needs to get on with the job now. He started to take it on. It felt increasingly uncomfortable that she was away, that he was part doing things. So, yes, sad, but sort of inevitability about it, and probably constitutionally for the best, really.
So a real cross-section of the opinions and thoughts that I've been collecting today, but one of them perhaps looking ahead to what lies in store for the future of the monarchy. It was a question that I've asked a lot of the people who appeared for an interview.
Do you perhaps worry that with this potential removal of the constant that has been here for, I think, about 80% of the population of Great Britain's lives with Her Majesty on the throne, that we might, even if it's only for a moment, seem a little less sure of ourselves as a nation.
I wonder. I think most definitely. It's going to be like the rug is going to be pulled from all of us, I think, for us slightly older generation. Younger people, I don't know. I think she's very respected, but I think for us, it's she just stands for everything that's... she's always been there through thick and thin, and she's everything that's good about this country, really. So.
Well, the Commonwealth is large and strong. Speaking personally, you know, I hope that the monarchy shall continue as head of the state, as I said, her wisdom will continue with Prince Charles. He will bring his own influence, and I have to say, you know, in the last decade or so, I've respected Prince Charles more and more because his belief in the environment and in food production, sustainable food production, etc., I think demonstrates how well ahead of the crowd he was. We may all have thought that his ideas were rather unusual at the time, but he's been proved right.
Well, I think it probably does unsettle things a little bit. The fact that anybody who's below the age of 70, which is the majority of the population, will never have known anything else. I think there'll be a lot of very upset old people. I was thinking of my father, who's 92, and he identified, you know, most people of that age are not alive anymore, and she was somebody that he could identify with. So I think even the older people will be shocked. But for the rest of us, we've always sung God Save the Queen. We've only seen E2R on a postbox. There are so many things in the common language, like QCs, we'd have to go to KCs. I think there's going to be a lot of changes coming for us, and I think it's slightly unsettling. I think initially it will be worrying. It's also quite exciting. Once we get over the initial grief reaction and all there'll inevitably be a lot of pomp and grandeur. If we get to the Queen's passing and a funeral procession, London will obviously be full of that for a few weeks, and that will carry us along. But I think a new monarchy brings an exciting time, and we've got a new Prime Minister as well, and it will be interesting to see how Prince Charles, who has had a lot more to say about politics than the Queen, interacts with the new Prime Minister, and it's exciting but unsettling.
I think the future is still very strong. We have got Prince Charles, who's been prince in waiting for many years, but also William, who I think is remarkable too. I think the future for the monarchy is very strong indeed. She has made sure that it is, and she's brought that close family. And as we saw in the press yesterday, the Cambridge children going to school for the first day, I think the future is very strong for the monarchy because of the Queen.
It was here that the moment came the assembled crowds had been dreading. As news came through from Buckingham Palace that Her Majesty the Queen had passed away at Balmoral earlier that afternoon, the flag lowered to half-mast and a notice posted on the gates of the palace. Here was my initial reaction.
I've been to Buckingham Palace a number of times. Never been in a crowd quite like this. It's a mixed mood, but overall the quietest crowd I think I've ever heard outside of Buckingham Palace at any occasion. Punctuated every now and then by God Save the Queen, or by a round of applause as someone passes another set of flowers onto the already growing pile in front of the gates. It really has brought out all sorts of emotions in people. Today's sad news. We've seen tears, people actively being consoled in the crowd as they hear the news or see the notice for the first time. Flowers have already made their way to the gates of Buckingham Palace, and when people can't reach them, they've been placed and laid around at other junctures. A mark of respect, as we saw with the death of Princess Diana all those years ago. But most of all, there is a period of quiet reflection in this crowd as the noise is remarkably small for a crowd of this size. They pack the area around the Victoria Monument and the fountain, and there isn't room to move in some areas here, especially around the monument. People have been here for hours, some of them mere minutes when they heard the news. But in addition to that somber tone, there's also a feeling of sort of rudderlessness. Some people are wandering around the crowd with no clear idea of what they're going to be doing next. And that's a situation that, however briefly, the country does find itself in. King Charles will take up the reins and has already taken up the mantle, effective immediately. But it will take time to get used to all those small changes and the larger ones as well. But for now, the area around Buckingham Palace, and indeed the country, mourns and pays their respects. Obviously, we've all heard the very sad news today. I wonder what particularly motivated you to come out to here when the whole country is feeling the situation. Why Buckingham Palace?
Just her service. Like, I just felt I had to do... When it was the news, I was blocking out. I didn't really feel anything. But as soon as I was in the pub with some friends, and when I heard that moment, like, I just felt I had to do something. Yeah, and some of my friends, I didn't know what my reaction would be. So, yeah, just had to come here. I don't know why. Just thank you. I just had to come here. So, I can't really put it into words.
I also noticed you've got some flowers there, I'm assuming, as a mark of respect.
Yeah, and I saw purple flowers, and, you know, had to be purple for her.
It had to be purple, indeed.
Just, she was amazing. For us, the country, the service, the longevity, everything she gave. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I'm not a monarchist, really. Well, I didn't feel like it. So it's just hit me all at once, so... Yeah, just had to be here to mark my respects and, yeah, say thank you to her. Thank you to Queen Elizabeth II.
Just one final question and I will let you go and place those flowers. With a reign of 70 years, longer than any British monarch, longer than almost all of the monarchs in world history, I think there's only one or two above her in duration. What sort of legacy does Queen Elizabeth II leave behind in your eyes?
You can't put it into words. Like, there will be no monarch the same. You know, there was Queen Victoria, but Elizabeth II's reign, I don't think, will ever be beaten. The amount of prime ministers she's seen, the history, the overlap with Winston Churchill since the Victorian era. Like, she's seen so much, given so much wisdom. And I think she paid the greatest service that I personally believe, like, deep down, she was waiting. You know, she had a duty to see the new prime minister in. And I don't think it's a coincidence this is so short time after. And so I almost feel that's like an extra mark of respect for her, that she wasn't well ever since the death of her husband, Prince Philip, but she made like that extra duty to see and distrust the new Prime Minister, and that went even further. So, yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for your time, sir. If you don't mind me asking, where in the world have you come from to visit London?
Germany.
Düsseldorf, very nice city. Would you say that the Queen has had a lasting impact and legacy outside of just the United Kingdom? And if so, how would you describe that?
I think so. She was a woman. She was a long-standing woman in her for her age. And everybody had respect. I think even like between Putin, the Americans, Merkel, they all some kind of respected her.
And what do you think, looking forward, from someone who's not a British citizen, how do you think Britain itself changes now that the Queen is no longer there?
I don't know. I don't know how royal the Brits actually are. I know they love the Queen, but will they love Charles? I don't know. He seems quiet as a person and not very, you know. I think everything changes because, like, the era is over, you know, and it's strange to, like, have a queen, but I don't know. We will watch the Brits, I guess.
Well, I think the constancy and decency of her, that I think it's something that we now expect everybody to have an opinion on everything. She's never expressed an opinion. She's sailed right down the middle. She's held a nation together. She's held a difficult family together. And I think she's the model of stability. And that is what makes her eventual passing rather unsettling, that constant will be gone. So I don't think it's any achievement in particular. I think it's just that constancy and stability that she brought.
As a very warm-hearted person, very kind, and you love.
Yeah, I think so. Also due to the fact that she reigned for such a long time, she always was going to be remembered, I guess.
Well, I hope that Prince Charles will, in his 70-odd years, will have absorbed a lot of the wisdom that has been passed on to him by his mother through his genes and also through her personal mentoring of Charles. And I'm sure, given her long reign and Charles's own age, his own children, given William is now 40, will have also absorbed a similar quantum of wisdom.
Well, I think because of the nature of the length of her reign, I think it gives people some consistency and some certainty up until today in a world where there is such a lack of certainty and consistency. You know, she's been on the throne for, is it since she was 20? And she had to deal with a lot at a very young age, and she's been an amazing part of our British culture for that amount of time. And it is also nice to have a queen rather than a king. And that will also be taken away from us. But she, yeah, I think I always think fondly of the queen, and it's going to be very sad.
The end of an era, truly. And the end of this episode of reflection and tribute, I guess, that was paid throughout the day of September the 8th, 2022. That is, as I say, all the content we have. Thank you very much for listening. This has not been the easiest of programs to put together, but we hope that it has done something to pay a tribute and to reflect upon the reign and legacy of Elizabeth II, as well as look forward to King Charles III, as we now know he will be. Thank you very much for listening. I've been Reese Wallace.